Hi, hello, welcome to today's podcast on building a high-performing architecture. When we talk about architecture which gives you a maximum performance, there are three major components to it. Number one is the application itself, the way you code. And there you need to bring in the performance parameters. But it can take you only to an extent. Number two, the hardware in which the application is mounted. That plays an important role. Say, for example, you have a very well-written application which is going to fetch data which resides on a magnetic tape. So by design, it is going to take a lot of time. Or your application is executed on a CPU with a very low capability. So again, there will be a drop in the performance. So hardware plays a major role. The third essential ingredient is the way you engineer it, the way you bring together your application and your hardware to bring out the best performance. So in this plumbing work of putting together your hardware and application, right, cache plays a significant role. So for the beginners, what is cache? Cache, in simple terms, is nothing but the high-speed memory wherein you can store some often fetched data or some computational results, so that you need not go through a lot of CPU cycles to arrive at the same results. So what do you really achieve here is, number one, very obviously you are cutting short the CPU cycles. Number two, you are giving a better user experience because the delay or the latency between the user and the application is reduced. Right. So when I say cache plays a very important role in the way you visualize or design an application, it may look to be an exaggerated statement. So let me give you a very simple example of a scenario, and let us visualize an architecture and how cache can redefine the whole way of thinking about it. So assume that you have users in three different geographical units, and you need to design an application in a way the latency has to be reduced and all this data which you get in has to be synced up in a common database. So the very simple way of doing it is, you will have a Route 53 where you'll have your domain name, and you might opt for a geolocation routing policy wherein, depending upon the user's geography, it will be routed to a server which is very close to him or her, and then the server is going to serve the content to the user. And the data so collected will be stored in a database within that region. A very simple architecture which you might have seen a number of times. Now, if there is no additional requirement of syncing up the database, this architecture works very fine. But I have an additional requirement that I need to have a single source of truth, and the users may be moving in from region to the region pretty quickly, and I want to have that unified experience to be provided to the user. So syncing up all this multiple database into one in a near real time is going to be a challenge. I'm not going to say it is an impossible task, but definitely it is a complex task, right? But at the same time, you cannot maintain one set of servers, your application server and a database server, and start feeding in the user, because the other requirement is you need to reduce the latency. So now comes in cache. So if I'm going to bring in the element of cache and redesign this application, instead of maintaining the multiple servers in multiple regions, what I can do is I can maintain one set of servers and one database, and then start feeding in the content through your cloud distribution network, CDN, or in simple terms, your edge locations, which are nothing but a set of proxies which has a lot of cache, and thereby it reduces your last minute latency. Now, the single element of cache introduced into this architecture completely changes the way you have perceived and returned the whole application. Instead of having multiple servers, now you are just going with one set of servers, preferably with the load balancer, and then feeding in that content through the CDN. So, and the complexity behind syncing up the database is completely eliminated. So that's how cache can simplify your work as well as reduce the cost involved in maintaining an entire solution architecture. So if you are into a business wherein milliseconds matters, say for, let me give you a real world example. Say you are a company which is going to post ads on a web page based on the profile of the viewer. So you have to understand, when a viewer comes into a web page, he doesn't spend a lot of time in it. So within that fraction of a second, you need to make a decision saying that, okay, this particular ad will be the most suited to this particular profile, and you need to post it there. That increases the chance of you converting this user into a potential prospect. And all this decision has to be done within second. So within, in reality, it is 100 or 200 milliseconds. If we are not going to be fast enough, if your application is not yielding to that type of a performance, you are not only losing an opportunity, but eventually the company will go out of business. So in such cases, wherein the application speed is very critical for the success of the business, your cache plays an inevitable role. So this podcast, we are going to see how we can position this cache in different places of the architecture so that we can maximize the performance. And we will divide this podcast into two segments. Segment one, we will see the low-hanging fruits, the edge and the web cache. In the segment two of this podcast, we will be seeing about the application cache and the database cache. So let's not wait any further. So let's get on to the edge caching. So when we talk about caching, right, the very first thing which comes to our mind is CloudFront. So CloudFront, for the beginners, is nothing but a set of proxies which are distributed across the world. To be very precise, as of today, it is 220 proxy servers distributed in 87 cities in 44 countries, wherein your content will be cached and it will be served. And this makes use of the Amazon's proprietary network. So one of the most popular use case of CloudFront is it caches the most frequently accessed data and serves it without having the need to propagate the user request to the originating server. Right thing to do. But is it the only use case? Not certainly. CloudFront can also be used for two different reasons. So let us dwell into them. The very first thing is it can be used as a network accelerator. So assume that you have a content which is unique in nature, and every time the user is going to consume new content. So essentially, in a technical term, TTL, the time to live, is zero. So you're not going to really cache the content. But if you want to serve it using CloudFront and through a normal network, it is guaranteed that the CloudFront will enable the last minute delivery much faster than the unpredictable behavior of your normal network. So CloudFront shouldn't be isolated and viewed only from an angle of caching the content in its server, which is the primary purpose, I don't deny it, but it also has the capability to accelerate your content delivery between the application and the user in a much faster way. That is item number one. The other feature is a very less known Lambda at the edge. Lambda at edge, which is used at your edge location, gives you the more capability to make some last minute decision without impacting the user experience. So let me give you a use case. So assume that you are running a A/B testing. So you have two versions of your web page and you want to decide which one to serve depending upon the profile of the viewer. Normally, when you didn't have this Lambda at the edge, this decision was either taken at the client side or in the server side. The client side, what happens is when this decision has to be taken, the website would have been already in the loading process. Then quickly you make a decision that not this, I'm going to serve the second version. The user will see a flicker and it will impact the user experience, as well as it brings in some amount of latency. Fine. What happens if I shift the decision from the client side directly to the server side? A very good decision, but in modern architectures, so if you have a static web page which is being served from S3, now where will you even put this logic? So that means that now instead of S3, you need to go ahead and put the content in a EC2 and do it, which is not the most economical or the preferred method for serving your static content. So in such scenarios, Lambda at edge comes handy. It makes the decision-making process much easier. So now you can make a decision, right? Okay, what page to be served, neither at the client side nor at the server side, but on the edge location. Not only that, if you have to make a last minute decision that depending upon the device in which the user is consuming the content, you want to do some quick customization, Lambda at edge will help you. And similarly, if you want to do some visitor validation, saying that, okay, what type of visitor he or she is, is it a hard-hitting visitor who is going to consume a lot of data, or it is going to be a lean visitor who is going to just consume the first layer of data. Based on that, you can make certain logical decisions. So Lambda at edge gives you four different opportunities wherein you can handle this more on that in a different podcast. But all you need to know is, if you are going to make use of cloud friend, don't restrict yourself to the thought or the belief that cloud friend is only for the most commonly used data. Even with the TTL as zero, you can work out magics using this particular feature. So coming to the second position where you can place your cache is between your application and the web. So before, I will say in an architectural standpoint, between your application servers and your elastic load balancer, you can put out a web cache. You may have a question saying that, is this an addition to the CloudFront? Yes, because in case if CloudFront doesn't have the data, that request is going to be routed back to your main server, and getting it from the cache is going to minimize the latency rather than your server going to go ahead and either compute the data or going to access it from the backend, from a file or from a database, and do some amount of formatting and serve it back. So you can make use of your web cache. When you use web cache, there are a couple of decision points which you need to think about. What you need to cache and how long you need to cache. Ideally, I would say cache everything, but that is not the most economical option. So you might need to make a decision that, okay, what are those contents which are more frequently accessed, and try to put it in the cache. There is no thumb rule that what are those to decide on the content. You need to monitor your transactions, you need to monitor your data, you need to monitor the users, because not all the users will be consuming the same amount of content. Few users will be consuming more content than the rest. So in such cases, monitoring and making a decision, course correcting it, is the only way. And then you also have to decide how long you need to cache it, the TTL. Because if you are going to have a larger TTL, then what really happens is, if the data is refreshed in reality, but your cache will be serving the stale data. So you might need to have an invalidation strategy to remove the data and refresh it with the most appropriate or the latest one. So fundamentally, if you are going to go with a web cache, which is the most good option, you also need to focus on the strategies behind what to cache and how long to cache. There are a bundle of options which are available in the market if we want to go with web cache, especially Nginx and even some of the language structures which we use in building an application itself provides you a lot of cache. But my recommendation is, before even you go ahead and spend your budget on procuring it, make a wise decision whether you are making use of all your RAM in the most right way. Because if you still have space left in the RAM and then you are going to go ahead and buy cache externally, it is like you are not utilizing your resources to the right extent. More on it as we get into this other, the other segment of this podcast, where we talk extensively about your application cache as well as the database cache, because those two are the heart of any of the architecture. The first two which I've been talking about, your edge and your web cache, they are more like an ancillary items which will help you to accelerate. But performance is not something to be tested out. It has to be inbuilt. So let us deep dive more on those two aspects as we get on to our next podcast session. As usual, please share your feedback and what you think. And if you have any other inputs, which probably I would have missed here, I'll be more than glad to receive it from you. You can write to me at queryshami@gmail.com, and feel free to share your feedback. And in the next podcast, we will do a continuation of this, where we will talk about the application tier caching and the database tier caching. Till then, goodbye. Thank you.